It's great to be here tonight and to be part of this wonderful, distinguished panel. Is the microphone on or off?
He went to get another
Oh, okay.
Mic, so you want to just like...
No, this is fine.
Okay, okay.
This is fine. So Laura comes to me and she says, look, you're on this panel, and of all the people on this panel, you've got a lot of years on all of them. And she says, everybody's going to see you there with your white hair, and I think it might be a good idea for you to share with them maybe what it is that you might attribute your long career to. And I said to Laura, well, that's easy, and I say to you it was easy, because there really is one thing to which I attribute my career, and that is a 1954 Chevy sedan that was the ugliest car you ever saw, that had as its only automatic device an AM radio that went on and off automatically, regardless of what you did with the knob. And that was a car that my parents gave to me when I finished my undergraduate stuff at Maryland and went to the University of Maryland Law School. The car really featured in my life and in the starting of my career. Because I used to drive the car every day to law school, and I parked next to where the dean of the law school parked, a wonderful man named Roger Howell, who was then the dean of the law school. And we would walk to school together in the morning. And as my time at law school went by, I thought I really wanted to be a law teacher. And the dean was helping me get my first job as a teacher in a law school. Until one time in the middle of my senior year, I get a note while I'm sitting in a class that says, report to the dean's office immediately. I thought, oh my God, there goes my career. He found out something I've done. Well, it turned out the dean calls me in and he says, listen, I've just gotten a call from Judge Soboloff, who is the chief judge of the Fourth Circuit, and he's asked me to recommend somebody to be his law clerk, and I've recommended you. So I'd like you to call him and go see him for an interview. And I thanked the judge, I thanked the dean profusely. I was walking out of his office. I had one foot out the door, and he says to me, don't forget to tell him that you own a car. I was wondering now, where does that fit in? I called the judge's chambers. I made an appointment to go see him, and I was really one nervous guy. I wasn't as nervous as Andy trying a case for his mother and father, but I was plenty nervous. Because Judge Soboloff was really a giant in Maryland law. He had been chief judge of the Court of Appeals. He had been Solicitor General of the United States. He was rumored to be a front runner as a successor to Justice Felix Frankfurter. And he was a formidable figure. So I made the appointment, and I made sure I had enough time to prepare. I read everything I could find about the judge's biography. I went through arguments that he gave in the Supreme Court. I read his major opinions as a judge. I honed up on what my own meager achievements had been, and the day arrived. I was ushered into the judge's chambers, and he was a magnificent presence. And I can't tell you the first question he asked me. It's lost in my memory. But I can tell you the second question. The second question it was, so I understand you have a car. And what I found out was that a major part of this job was coming to the judge's home on Rogers Avenue in time to have breakfast with him, and it was invariably steak and eggs. I will never eat steak in ACA. And then to drive him to work, take him around wherever he had to go speak, and then deposited him at home, usually late at night. And that was the routine. And there was always something exciting that took place when I was driving the judge around. And one of those that really sticks in my memory was the time when the Fourth Circuit came to Baltimore to sit in Baltimore, as the Fourth Circuit will do when it travels from place to place. And during that week when the Fourth Circuit was here in Baltimore, Judge Soboloff hosted a cocktail party at his house. And my job, thankfully it wasn't a 10 bar, was to drive all of the judges to the cocktail party. Now, the federal courthouse at that time was located in what is now the Baltimore City Courthouse East on Calvert Street. So I took the car out of the garage, and that was one of the perks of the job, which was I had free parking. I took the car out of the garage. I pulled up in front of Calvert Street, and out came all of the judges of the Fourth Circuit. I jumped out, as a good chauffeur would, and I was helping them all get into the car, and then I looked down Calvert Street, and I saw red. Who was walking up Calvert Street but a guy by the name of Melvin Perkins? For those who have lived, they know, and I'll share with you now, the fact that Melvin Perkins was the most prodigious pro se litigator in the history of man. And poor Melvin was mentally challenged, and he would spend lots of time at the mental health facility in the veterans facility at Perry Point. And while he was there, he would write reams of pleadings to be filed in the federal court. And they were all on this yellow fool's cap. And by the time Melvin finished with them, it had all the remains of every meal he ate over a few months. He had scrawls all over the papers. The papers were filthy, as was Melvin. And there I am with the Fourth Circuit judges all have gotten into my car, and up comes Melvin with a sheaf of these yellow papers. I ran around the car, and by the time I got into the car, Melvin had spotted that he had struck gold. He had never dreamed that he'd have in one place all of the judges of the Fourth Circuit. And unfortunately, Judge Soboloff, who was sitting in the front passenger seat, had the window rolled down. It was a warm day. Melvin didn't hesitate for a second. He ran up to the car. He grabbed took his sheet of papers. He threw it into the car, into Judge Soboloff's lap. It fell down. The papers were flying all over the car. Judge Soboloff looked up. He saw Melvin. It was the most horrible thing he could ever have seen. The car had a window that you closed with a crank. The judge said, "Get the hell out of here." And he rolled up the window, which was terrific, except it caught Melvin's arm in the window. I started to drive away. Melvin started screaming because there I was dragging Melvin to the judge's cocktail party. Well, fortunately, Judge Soboloff realized what was going on. We put the window down. Melvin got his arm out, and this whole car full of judges who were stern in the morning when they were sitting in court couldn't stop laughing all the way to Rogers Avenue. Now, the car became another important part of my career because not only did I take the judge to work every morning, but the judge had a friend who lived around the corner. And the guy who lived around the corner was a man named Leon Pearson, who was the father, incidentally, of Judge Michael Pearson in Baltimore City. And Leon Pearson at that time was not only the judge's friend, he was the U.S. attorney. And they became my carpool. I took them to work every day. Well, the clerkship was coming to an end, and we took off from the judge's home, and the judge looked at me kind of sheepishly, and he said, Leon and I have been talking about your future. And I thought, well, this is going to be something interesting. And he said, we know you want to go off and be a teacher, but we've been thinking that your training is really incomplete, and it's important for you to complete your training to go from here into the U.S. Attorney's Office, where you'll try cases for the government, you'll have the government resources at your disposal, and Leon will teach you how to try a case. And I thought, isn't that wonderful? Here are two people who really care about me. And just as I had that thought, he said, and by the way, you'll keep driving us to work. But thanks to them and their wonderful generosity of spirit, I got to try my first case, which happened to be a motor vehicle crime. But I walked into the courtroom, and there was a judge, and there was a jury, and you could say what you had to say, and you could perform. And it was so wonderful that I said, this is really where I think I belong. And thanks to the judge and thanks to Mr. Pearson, I've spent the last few decades in the courtroom, where I hope I'll be for a long time to come. Thank you.